Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. This time is different. 8 Centuries of Financial Folly by Carmen M. Reinhart, co-authored with Kenneth S. Rogoff, is a sweeping history of financial crises that challenges the comforting belief that modern markets have outgrown old mistakes. Drawing on a vast record of sovereign defaults, banking panics, inflation blowups, currency crashes, and debt restructurings across countries and centuries, the book argues that the patterns of boom and bust are remarkably persistent. Its core message is not that crises are identical, but that the stories we tell ourselves during expansions are. Policymakers, investors, and citizens repeatedly claim that new financial innovations, stronger institutions, or better central banking make past warnings obsolete. Reinhart and Rogoff examine how debt accumulates in good times, why leverage and capital inflows can turn fragile quickly, and how governments often underestimate the scale and duration of aftershocks. The result is a data-driven narrative meant to inform better decisions before the next crisis arrives. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the recurring myth of financial exceptionalism, a central theme is that societies repeatedly convince themselves that the present era is fundamentally safer than the past. The book dissects how this belief takes hold during long expansions, when rising asset prices, easy credit, and stable inflation create an illusion of permanent prosperity. In many episodes, the narrative is powered by real change such as new markets, new technologies, improved monetary frameworks, or globalized capital flows. Yet the authors argue that these changes often amplify risk by enabling larger credit booms and faster cross-border contagion. The idea of this time is different becomes a political and cultural tool, making it easier to dismiss skeptics and postpone hard reforms. By reviewing centuries of crises across advanced and emerging economies, the analysis shows that the same psychological and institutional dynamics recur: optimism about future growth, underpricing of tail risk, and an assumption that authorities can manage any shock. The practical takeaway is vigilance. Even when the triggers differ, the pattern of complacency and delayed recognition can turn manageable imbalances into systemic crises. Understanding this myth helps readers spot the warning signs embedded in popular narratives, official forecasts, and market pricing during late cycle booms. Secondly, sovereign debt, default, and the politics of repayment. The book treats sovereign default not as a rare aberration, but as a common feature of financial history. It surveys how governments accumulate debt during wars, commodity booms, infrastructure pushes, or social spending expansions, often assuming growth and refinancing will remain available. When conditions shift, defaults, restructurings, and financial repression become recurring strategies. A key insight is that default risk exists even in countries with sophisticated institutions, and that debt intolerance can emerge at lower debt levels when credibility, tax capacity, or external financing is fragile. The authors also explore how domestic political constraints shape outcomes. Leaders delay adjustment, protect favored groups, or gamble on growth, which can deepen eventual losses. External creditors, multilateral institutions, and global interest rate cycles all influence timing and severity. Importantly, the costs of default extend beyond headline events. They include banking stress, currency depreciation, capital flight, and long periods of impaired growth. By placing many national episodes side by side, the book encourages readers to think in regimes rather than isolated cases. It suggests that debt sustainability depends on structure, maturity, currency denomination, and investor base, not just the debt-to-GDP ratio, and that transparency about contingent liabilities and off-balance sheet promises is essential. Thirdly, banking crises and the leverage cycle. Banking crises are presented as classic outcomes of credit booms, particularly when lending standards erode and balance sheets become highly leveraged. The book emphasizes that banking systems often look strongest right before they fail. Profitability is high, defaults are low, and innovation appears to distribute risk. But these conditions can mask maturity mismatches, reliance on short-term funding, and hidden correlations across supposedly diversified portfolios. When asset prices stall or funding dries up, losses accelerate and confidence collapses. The authors examine how banking failures interact with public finances. Governments frequently absorb private losses through guarantees, recapitalizations, and recession-driven revenue declines, turning banking crises into sovereign debt crises. Conversely, sovereign distress can damage banks that hold large amounts of government debt, creating a feedback loop. Cross-border banking and global capital markets intensify the cycle by transmitting shocks through wholesale funding and sudden stops. The historical perspective highlights that while instruments change, the underlying mechanics remain familiar. Leverage expands in good times, risk is underappreciated, and liquidity disappears when most needed. The book encourages readers to watch for rapid credit growth, concentrated exposures, and interconnected balance sheets, and to recognize that stabilization policies can reduce immediate panic but may also set the stage for future risk if they encourage moral hazard and excessive borrowing. Fourthly, inflation, currency crashes, and the hidden tax of devaluation. Beyond defaults and bank failures, the book gives substantial attention to inflation crises and currency collapses as recurring tools and consequences of debt and policies. Inflation can arise from fiscal dominance, war finance, or an attempt to erode the real burden of debt when taxation and spending cuts are politically difficult. Even in countries that avoid hyperinflation, bouts of high inflation, devaluations, and exchange rate regime breaks can impose large welfare losses through reduced purchasing power, distorted investment decisions, and unstable expectations. The authors explore how fixed exchange rates can create a false sense of safety by anchoring inflation temporarily, while also encouraging foreign borrowing and vulnerability to speculative attacks. When the peg breaks, liabilities denominated in foreign currency can explode in domestic terms, damaging banks, firms, and public finances. The historical record also illustrates how capital controls, financial repression, and administrative measures have been used to contain crises, often shifting costs onto savers. A major lesson is that price stability and credible institutions matter, but they are not permanent shields. Political pressures, large shocks, and deteriorating fiscal positions can overwhelm even well-designed frameworks. Readers are prompted to see inflation and currency stress as integral parts of the crisis toolkit and to evaluate debt composition, reserve adequacy, and policy credibility when assessing national risk. Lastly, aftermath, long recoveries, debt overhangs, and policy trade-offs. The book argues that the aftermath of major crises is typically slower and more painful than conventional forecasting assumes. Following banking panics, defaults, or deep currency events, economies often face years of weak growth, elevated unemployment, and persistent credit constraints. Debt overhangs, both public and private, can suppress investment and consumption as borrowers focus on deleveraging. Asset prices may take long periods to recover, and political conflict over who bears the losses can delay clean balance. The authors also examine how crisis responses create trade-offs. Aggressive stabilization can prevent collapse, yet it may increase public debt and entrench expectations of bailouts. Austerity can restore confidence in some settings, but can deepen recessions when applied too quickly or when private demand is already impaired. The historical approach helps clarify that there is no universal template. Outcomes depend on initial conditions, exchange rate flexibility, institutional capacity, and the structure of liabilities. Still, recurring patterns emerge. Crisis legacies last, fiscal space shrinks, and future policy choices become constrained. By emphasizing duration and scarring, the book invites readers to evaluate risks not only by the probability of a crisis, but also by the expected cost of recovery. It encourages resilience planning, including prudential regulation, sustainable fiscal frameworks, and early recognition of losses. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who want a historically grounded understanding of why financial crises keep happening. Policymakers, students of economics and international relations, investors, risk managers, and anyone trying to interpret headline debates about debt, deficits, banking stability, and global capital flows. Its main benefit is perspective. By placing modern events alongside centuries of earlier episodes, it helps readers recognize familiar warning signs, such as rapid credit growth, complacent narratives about new eras, heavy reliance on foreign funding, and the quiet buildup of contingent liabilities. That broader lens can improve practical decisions, from portfolio risk assessment to public policy design, because it highlights not only how crises start, but also how long recoveries often take and how costs are distributed. Compared with many crisis books that focus on a single country or one recent crash, this one stands out for its breadth of evidence and its effort to organize recurring patterns across different eras and institutions. The result is a durable reference rather than a time-bound commentary, making it worth buying for readers who want an analytical framework they can reuse when the next cycle of exuberance begins. If you would like to support Carmen M. Reinhart, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.